completely different subject, away from black pudding, away from drug testing and away from free speech. It's been warned about the likelihood Australian gang members deported back here will make attempts to corrupt our police. Already the influence of the criminal deportees has had an effect on local gangs, with a surge in gang membership over the past 2 years and the more sophisticated approach to attracting new members. The comments came from the officer in charge of the motorcycle gang unit, Detective Sergeant Raymond Sunkel, at the annual Police Association conference. He warned that recent gang deportees from across the Tasman are influencing our gangs, trying to get them to legitimise themselves, but at the same time are also making them more dangerous. Quite interesting on this, Ella, isn't it? What do you make of this? The Australian criminals influencing our gangs, influencing perhaps our police folk. Got to be a worry.
So as a little bit of the background research you sent me, there was the research on corruption, you know, the global study on corruption. And I was incredibly heartened to find that New Zealand is the second least corrupt nation in the world, and that, in fact, significantly higher in many regards than Australia. So I'm not even going to dare to suggest that Australian police are more corruptible than ours.
I think the evidence is there, though.
But I think the other thing that's really important to remember about this particular topic is not whether gangs can, you know, coerce an individual bad, dirty apple, but the fact that so many of these people are coming back from Australia and we don't actually have the programs to reintegrate them necessarily if their first port of call is home and their second port of call is to continue to maintain links with, you know, the very reason they got kicked out of Australia in the first place. I'm really supportive of programs, and I've seen and heard a number of stories since of people who've been brought back and dropped off in New Zealand and have had no life here for 30 to 40 years and are expected to suddenly become New Zealanders. So if they're resorting to their gang life, their thug life, then maybe we should be doing better at helping them to integrate into our lovely corruption-free country.
All right, Steve, what do you think?
Well, I'd circle back to one of our earlier topics when we were talking about these proposed sweeping new powers that police are possibly going to get to start monitoring bad people returning from overseas. We're talking about the likes of Mark Taylor, and like I said before, as far as I can tell, the likes of Mark Taylor is Mark Taylor, and there's not a whole lot of others, and yet we're being told that there are potentially large numbers of convicted criminals being deported from Australia, being sent back to New Zealand with, apparently, a view to subverting our entire police system. If we're going to start monitoring people, aren't they the ones we should be monitoring? And then, as Ella says, also, you know, they've served their sentence in Australia, they've then been sent back here. How about we actually try and support them a little bit? I think I've talked about this on the panel before. If they're being sent back here, they are ours. They are ultimately our whānau. We do need to be looking after them.
We've got to support the police, don't we?
But that does then support, I mean, if they're not going to engage in gang life when they come back, then what is the possibility that they're going to try and corrupt the police?
Okay, well, with us is Chris Cahill, the president of the Police Association. Chris, welcome to the panel.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. Did you hear what both Ella and Steve said there?
I did indeed. And look, really interesting comments. And look, I don't disagree with a lot of what was said, but just clarify a couple of things.
Yep.
One is around the global index of corruption. In some ways, that's great, and nearly always that's great, except it can make us a little bit naive and a little bit content to sit back and say we haven't got anything to worry about around corruption. So the vigilant around it is what will keep us there.
Okay, so tell me, Chris, how might corruption work? You mentioned in the piece, it actually can be quite subtle. Tell us an example of how it might play out.
Look, it can be really subtle. It can simply be when someone's arrested, asking them to let them bring something into a cell or something like that, as simple as that. Or it can be when they're found with stolen property, turn a blind eye. But it can go right through to accepting bribes for information, and that's the big one. They want access to police files. They want to know who's been investigated, and that's the real concern. And then clearly is the thing about not actually investigating serious crime groups. So.
And why might it be a particular issue with these Australian-based gangs or people coming from the influence of Australian gang members and not so much people here?
Yeah. Well, it's because of their professionalisation. They're at a different level. They're highly driven by money. They've got a lot of it. And just touching on the deportees, there's a lot of them come back and they've got no family support and, they've got no options. They shouldn't be sent back. But and they need that wraparound support, and that isn't necessarily available. But there's a whole group of nasty gang members who are never going to respond to that wraparound support. These are really hardened criminals, top-end gang offenders in Australia, and those are the ones we're concerned about.
Hey, finally, Chris, while you're here, why do you think it is... because, we'll often hear stories, won't we, of people who travel overseas or people who've come from overseas to make New Zealand their home and go, as I did, I talked to a Kenyan gentleman. He said, what's the one thing that you like about New Zealand, over and above anything else? He goes, well, actually, the number one by far and away is no corruption. I just love it. You've got a sense you can breathe. You don't have to sort of bribe people. Why do you think it is that our police are less corruptible than in other parts of the world? Is there a couple of things that make it stand out?
Yeah, it was a couple of key things. You've got to pay police well, and in New Zealand in general, police officers are paid well, and you've got to also make sure there's a good superannuation scheme. There are two things overseas that lead to corruption. They aren't paid well, and they haven't got super, so they'll create their own super scheme when they get closer to retirement. So keeping those in mind are some of the safest ways to keep corruption out of the police.
All right, Chris Carhill there, President of the Police Association. Thanks for taking the time for us, Chris.
Thanks very much.